I guess because of that, if I'm a little more informal than you're used to as I speak, the group at Pleasant Valley is about 50, and from your numbers, I think we're about four times that many here. I appreciate the opportunity that Bert offered me last year, it's 2 years ago now, to travel to Tampico and at that point Victoria to visit with some preachers and Christians in that part of the world, and then to go this year, and I appreciate your support and helping us get down there as well. One of the things that I have learned in traveling with Bert is the phrase that April and I coined of con Roberto. That basically means with Bert, and there's a lot that's encompassed there. He buys plane tickets the week before he travels. I've got a trip planned in May on business, and we've already got everything settled for the entire trip. You warned me to turn it on, and I didn't turn it on. We traveled over the Thanksgiving holiday to Tampico, and the place where we actually were for the 4 days was Altamira. That is basically if you flew into Huntsville and then drove over to Madison. That's kind of the geography there. I don't have a lot of scripture to use as I speak tonight in a presentation such as this. It's a little difficult to tie things in. However, we can read twice in Acts, in chapter 14 and verse 27, where a report was given to the church of things that those who were preaching and moving among the churches did while we were there. And as well in chapter 21, Paul gave a detailed account of the things God had accomplished among the Gentiles. I don't plan to give you a detailed account of 4 days. I hope as I have traveled and learned to condense the reports a little bit, that will get better. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, we read, "But Moses pleaded with the Lord, 'O Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been. I'm not now, even though you have spoken to me. I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. So bear with me if my words get tangled while we're here. Unlike Moses, I won't try to run away. I'll stand here and keep talking, but I may get tangled.'" We tried to translate my name into Spanish. Many of you may know that the J makes an H sound, or is kind of silent in Spanish. Jared just did not translate. On the first trip, somebody said Yeti, which is Jerry, my father's name, and Bert and I at the same time said, "Yeah, Yeti." So if anybody ever from that part of the world calls my name and they get it completely wrong, it's because we told them wrong. We just couldn't get it to translate. As another disclaimer, nurse practitioner does not translate into Mexican Spanish either. So instead of Jared, a nurse practitioner, I was Yeti el Médico, which is Jared the doctor. That was as close as we could ever get for that to go through. And surprisingly enough, the Christians there don't care what you do for a living. Here, you usually get some question about something. There's something that relates to what kind of work you do, no matter what that work is. When you told them, what your work was, they said, "Oh, that's nice," and moved on. They didn't linger. Some things that I've learned from both of these trips. One, I am rich beyond measure. And I think you'll see that. Another thing that was profound to me last year, we tend to think of people here who don't speak English as less intelligent. People who speak another language are not unintelligent. They just don't communicate with us in English well. If you've seen somebody speaking a different language and walk up to a cashier at a store and just reach out with a handful of money to buy a Coke, then you think, well, that's kind of crazy. Well, it is. You know what I did when I was in Mexico? I could ask for a Coca or a Coca Light, but a Coke or a Diet Coke. And from there, I just had to hand them, reach out my hand with several pesos in it and hope they got the right amount out of my hand. This second trip, I was a little better with the math and the numbers. Running hot water is a very nice thing to have. Nobody down there has hot water that you just turn the faucet on and get it. If you want hot water, you heat it on the stove. The Christians are happy there. I think that's probably the most important thing I learned. And I think it's probably because they spend so much time together. Their lives aren't quite as busy as ours. And when we were staying with Paco, and that's not his actual name, but Paco is what he answers to more than Jose. People would just walk in the door. Now, the door was open most of the time. Folks would be walking through the neighborhood and just stop by. And we don't do near enough of that here. And the humorous thing that I learned on the first trip, I learned in Houston when we got back home, that a double quarter pounder with cheese and a Dr. Pepper is one of the best tasting things you will ever eat. American food was nice to get back to after that first trip. Hey, Bert and I went for 4 days. We stayed with Paco and Magda the entire time we were there this trip. Last year we were in their house, I believe, one night when we first got there, and then we're with them for a little while as well. But we stayed with them the entire trip. This is a picture that's a year old, but it's of Bert, Paco, and his wife, Magdalena. So where did we go? And I'm going to try a laser. We're here. Tampico is here. It's a huge port city. I've got a couple of pictures of the port and that we saw. And then Tampico still is down here, and Altamira, where we actually were most of the time, is just a little bit north of there. But it's, like I said, probably Huntsville and Madison by comparison. We flew Huntsville to Houston to Monterey and then to Tampico. And you're missing an adventure if you've never been through a Mexican airport trying to find your way when you don't speak hardly any Spanish at all. And Bert was even having kind of a hard time figuring out where we were supposed to go. But we made it. Paco and a gentleman named Ishmael met us at the airport. Ishmael was a taxi driver who visits with the church there frequently. And we wondered why Paco didn't just pick us up in his own car, and I'll get to that in just a minute. This is a picture of the church building where we worshiped. That's made more or less out of recycled pallet boards. They took apart shipping pallets and used the materials to build their place to worship. And the way I've described that to most people since I've been home is it would be what we'd call a decent lawnmower shed. Many people here wouldn't want to park their lawnmowers in something that was as likely to leak as this building. They are, correctly so, very proud of the place that they have to worship. A concrete floor. And this picture is designed to show you the light bulb that was an improvement over the last time we were there. They had added electricity. That is their version of a weatherhead. I don't think any building inspectors here would pass that one. I don't know how well you can see it on the picture behind me, but very clearly that light fixture is just taped in with some black tape. Much like the boards you've got in the back, inside their one-room building, they've got a board that tells who does what, when their next meeting is, all the things that you'd kind of expect to be out in your foyer. This is the path leading from Paco's house over to the building. That path was not there last year. And I keep saying these things have changed. So you see that the Christians there are making efforts to improve the things that they have and the way that they're worshiping. Then this next picture, I turn to my left, and that's Bert and Paco walking up towards his house, just to kind of try to give you a little picture of where they were. The church building is behind the trees in the center of this picture. This pond is what they hope to use for a baptistry at some point in the near future when they can clean up some of the trash that's around it. This young lady's holding a puppy dog that she was bottle feeding. These two young ladies, one of them is Yoli, and I have gone completely blank on the other one's name. Belen, that's her name. We're in and out quite a bit. We attached to them pretty well while we were there. This is me just sitting on Paco's couch trying to find some pictures of Alabama. They were interested in our life, what it's like here. What does it look like there? Just like we many times are, the things that are seen there. All right, this is Paco and the power that goes over to the church building. That's an extension cord made, to the best I can tell, of the two inner pieces of Romex, black tape together, that he stretches from his kitchen across the street, using the term kind of loosely, and plugs into that weatherhead to get power in the church building. In the background is one of the gentlemen's transportation, his bicycle, or as it's a tri-cart of some kind, that he rode to worship. One of the members of the church makes those brooms, and that's the outdoor version. He makes an indoor version that you could probably sell in a local hardware store here, and it looked just about like what you'd expect to buy that was mass-produced. Before the service, one of the sisters was, as you might think, sweeping around outside the building, kind of tidying things up before we worshiped. This is the inside of the building. While Paco is speaking, if you can see it over on the left-hand side of the screen, somebody's got their arms up in the air. I'm not sure exactly what I froze in time when I took the picture. It was pretty easy to follow what he was saying in a language that I can almost understand and barely speak. The concepts were the same. Once you got enough that you could follow along in your Bible, you could get the concept of what he was saying. And Bert never pointed out to me anything that was being said that was wrong. And I couldn't begin to say that the things he was preaching were things that we wouldn't preach here. It seemed to be the same gospel that he was preaching. Just another view of the inside of the building. One of the things they do there is, if you've seen the little mosquito coils that look kind of like a stove eye that you burn to keep the mosquitoes away, you burn a couple of those sitting in the floor while you're worshiping. And Bert and I were the honored guest, and at one point, somebody lit one of those things right underneath us. Those things stink very bad. They keep the mosquitoes away, but they stink. One night, Bert and I made the mistake of asking if we could have one of those in our bedroom. There weren't any mosquitoes in the bedroom that night. We wondered if we might or might not wake up the next morning. On Sunday afternoon, after the service, everybody kind of gathered at Paco's house for lunch. Travel is not what we have here. In fact, at the point in time we were there, nobody in the congregation had a car that worked. So they had to walk everywhere they went. So they kind of gathered around, ate lunch at Paco's house. We were sitting out on the front porch there. There's a picture of Bert and Ishmael, our taxi driver, who was visiting with the church pretty frequently there. Then this is as we were gathering for the afternoon worship. They looked about like we do here. You're milling around and catching up on what you haven't talked to your neighbors and friends in a few days. This is the group that was present on Sunday afternoon. The Christians there are very eager. They seem, when they come together on Sunday, to stay that way. They break off into several different classes, and they don't wander off. They all seem to stick around, have a true enjoyment for each other's company, and the fellowship that they can have together as Christians. I hope I'm not fibbing to you when I say this, but Bert hadn't corrected me yet. On Saturday afternoon when we got there, Paco asked if I'd speak on Sunday morning. And here's where I say I think I'm right. I assume he asked because I didn't understand what he was saying. Bert said, Paco said, do you want to preach tomorrow morning? I still don't know if that was Bert putting me up to it or if that was the honest translation, but I definitely didn't want to preach there until I had at least worshiped with them to kind of see the order of what they did. So I declined. And the next thing that came out of at least Bert's mouth was, how about tomorrow afternoon? At which point I decided I might as well just give in and preach. But I was reminded of 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, where Paul told Timothy to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. It was out of season, but I was ready. So I adapted a lesson that I had used on a Wednesday night before about our attitudes when we're told what we're doing is wrong, when we realize something's not the way it should be. And that translated pretty well. Bert had to add a little bit to make it understandable in the things that they were expecting. But that was definitely a unique experience. A few pictures of the folks after the service. Again, milling around, talking, catching up, just like we would here. One of the things Bert taught me was take candy. Everybody seems to be mesmerized by a bag of candy, particularly the kids. You seem to hold folks' attention pretty well. This is the same two young ladies that I had the picture of earlier. We posed with several folks to get pictures. This young man's name is Daniel, and I left the picture in there for no other reason than I just think he's a cute kid with a cute picture. Just like we are here, there's lots of people that you'd love to meet there. Lots of interesting stories. It still didn't show up real good on a screen. This was on one of Paco's neighbor's front porches. Best we can tell, it is a shrine to the Virgin Mary. Most, well in excess of 95% of the population there is Catholic. That is the biggest challenge that the Christians there have, is the error that Catholicism teaches when you compare it to what we believe the Bible teaches. And I've got some pictures of a Catholic cathedral that was in town. It's a pretty extravagant place. Paco's house here is on a corner lot. That's Bert and I believe Ishmael standing there talking. This is the mid-90s Oldsmobile that Bert and I can tell you lots of stories about from either trip that belongs to Paco, that did not have a functioning transmission when we got down there. Arrangements have been made now for him to be able to get that fixed. One of the challenges that he faced without transportation was, of course, just the difficulties of going shopping and moving around. He, on Wednesday evening, would take, I believe it was two families, four or six people home after the worship service. They'd walk to worship, then he'd drive them home. Bert and I walked on some of those Mexican highways after dark. That's not safe. Many people will ask, well, is it dangerous there? It is when you walk down Highway 72 at night in the dark, and you know, street lights don't exist down there like you're accustomed to here. That was the most dangerous part, was getting run over by somebody. Our safety, I didn't really question, maybe except for that one walk. These are a few pictures of the Catholic cathedral in town, and if you've never been in a place like this, that's why I left several of these pictures, just so you could get a little glimpse of what Paco's, as I said, lawnmower shed competes with as a place to worship. If I'm not mistaken, that is a shrine to Mary that's inside the building. This is just a street there in Tampico. The Monday that we were there was a federal holiday of some sorts. Everybody was out shopping, which, another one of those, it's just with Bert things that I learned. You can't exchange U.S. dollars for pesos on a federal holiday. So we didn't exchange quite enough money into pesos when we first got there. But we managed to get through with that. And this is no different than a busy marketplace, maybe a mall here. I spent some time several years ago in Dublin. It's a city and a marketplace. That kind of thing I don't think changes a lot in different parts of the world. We tried to get to the port to see it, and it being a federal holiday, we couldn't get access to it. Bert got that far out, and I thought he might wind up in a Mexican jail over going that far out into the port area when we weren't supposed to. I don't remember all the statistics, but if I'm not mistaken, Tampico is one of the largest seaports on the continent. The ships that will come in there, the guard at the port told us, would just dwarf this huge building. The ships were apparently much larger than that, but we didn't get the opportunity to see that. This is a Presbyterian church that we found, I don't know, 30 minutes after Bert said, "Y'all, I've never seen a Presbyterian church in Mexico," and we drove right past one. There are other what we would call Protestant groups there, but the vast majority of folks, if they claim religion, claim to be Catholics. This is one of the things that I picked up on from both trips. I understand David standing on his roof and looking out and seeing somebody else's rooftop a little better. This was just a point there in town, and that's a little closer picture of just somebody's clothes hanging out to dry. But it made me understand, you look from your roof or from where you are and see down on somebody else's house and see them out on the roof. I think most of the dogs in Mexico live on people's roofs. The roofs are typically flat, probably got some rebar sticking up, so when they go to add on the next part of the house, you've already got rebar started, so you just keep going, but they're flat. And the dogs, most of the time, live up there. This was quite humorous. When I say taxi, most of us here probably think of a Ford Crown Victoria with a fairly big back seat, or you know, a Chevy Caprice, both of which now y'all don't even think you can buy. Taxi down there is a Nissan Sentra. That's a picture of three grown men in the back seat of a Sentra. We could all breathe pretty well as long as we took turns, two leaning back and one leaning forward. We decided that seat belts probably weren't required. We wouldn't move much if we had a wreck anyway. We took several taxi rides in a pretty small Sentra. I think this young lady's name is Inez, and Bert's nodding. The picture's pertinent because she's got a ring pop on one hand and a fresh piece of pineapple in the other one. Now, parents, you've all seen your kids eat some really strange things together. A cherry ring pop or a watermelon ring pop one and fresh pineapple just didn't seem to go together to me, but she liked it. She was a sweet little girl. This brother, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head, I'm sorry, had recently had his appendix removed, which somebody in this group may have done that recently. The problem is, he wasn't able to work after he had his appendix removed, and I'm sure he had some pretty stiff bills to pay after he had his appendix removed, and the government there doesn't hand out things like it does here. Insurance for health care is not quite what it is here, basically non-existent. There is a socialized governmental version of medicine that I'm thankful, again, that I live and work in this country and not that one. The church had actually had to help him with some of his bills after his appendix was removed, so that's where some of the funds that this small church has were going to. This fellow mentioned while we were there that he had just sold his bicycle, which was his transportation, so he was now walking. And this was not said, but my assumption was that he probably sold his bicycle to help pay his medical bills. So it's kind of far from us to think about selling our only car to try to help pay medical bills. Some may have faced that, but it's not a commonplace here. From this picture, I doubt that I can get across to you the way that Paco and most of the Christians there would just grab up and go study with somebody. This young lady's name is Judy, and she lives down the street from Paco. Paco came through one night and said, "Come on, let's go. Where are we going? We're going to study." Okay, so the gringos just got up and followed him. And we went down the street. He knocked. Her mother was actually making bread in that bowl that's on the table. When we went in, Paco said, "Hey, you want to study?" She said, "Sure." Went and got her Bible and sat down. Her mother stopped what she was doing for a little while, and then she ended up kind of participating in the study and finishing her kitchen work. But the spontaneity with which some of these folks would just stop, "Yeah, sure, let's study the Bible for a while," was impressive to me. And we studied with her for quite a while. My impression at the time was that she was not a Christian. Bert has told me that she actually was and is a Christian. But within the last week, her boyfriend has become a Christian. So the seeds that are being planted are growing. These people have a contagious nature about the gospel that I think we lack here many times. Magda fixed us some fresh tostadas. We were treated like royalty while we were there. We were royals in a poor place, but what they had to give us was done so. If you like refried beans, go to Mexico. They serve them cold for breakfast and lunch and dinner, and in this case, for a snack at bedtime. But that is one of the staples there. A couple of pictures of one of the street vendors. We bought bread, and the word pan or for bread goes everywhere from a loaf of bread to a donut, or at least in my translation of it. Some really good stuff that you'd buy from this guy who's just riding down the street selling things. Most of them, he's got a speaker on the side of his cart that's hooked to a car battery, playing something advertising what he's selling. One of the other things we did, we had a Skype session with Rachel, my daughter's Spanish class at West Limestone while we were there, to try to get them the opportunity to speak to a native speaker. Paco humored us with that. This is one of the young ladies who walked 30 minutes to Paco's house and then 30 minutes back to work after we had asked her to come speak to the kids her age in America. And I've got to share this one. I meant to reference the first part of Acts 2 where the writer says, these guys are from Galilee. You can tell by the way they talk that I'm not a terribly sophisticated speaker. One of the guys in particular in the Spanish class here, the way he, I'm trying to think exactly how he said it, was como, hola, como esta, which translates roughly, hi, how are you? Paco looked at Bert and I with the most puzzled look on his face. And this kid had just done his best to try to speak Spanish to a native speaker who had not a clue what had been said. So we appreciated them doing that for us while we were there. This is two of the men from the church who were working on a construction project that we went and saw them. Somebody in a group this size has got to have something to do with construction. That's a tree that they're using to prop up those boards, which they plan to pour concrete on top of to make the roof for this roof. Now, Bert does this stuff professionally, and he didn't seem quite as upset about it as I did. Mr. Burns is kind of shaking his head. I don't think he wants to put the concrete on top of that. This same gentleman has a nursery business. He was really, really proud to show us his nursery. I think he was probably a pretty good businessman with his nursery. This is Paco talking to one of the gentlemen who lives across the pond from the church building. And I left him in there because he told us that they often hear the singing. They'll come out and sit at their house where they can hear the Christians singing. And that when Paco's really boisterous, they can actually hear his sermon. So the lesson for us to take home from that is that you don't know when you're influencing somebody. It might just be that somebody drives by and sees so many cars out in the parking lot here tonight and says, "What? I wonder what they're doing. Let's go inside and see." We walked. And we walked and we walked. This trip, we were going to visit with an elderly sister who I took the pictures out of, but she had some horribly deformed arthritic hands, yet was in a good mood, just like all the Mexican Christians that we met. They seemed to be happy. Whatever the circumstance was, they were happy. This guy's name is Arturo. He and I didn't catch the specifics, but knew some of the Munoz family that is here in Athens. So that was how his picture got left in the process, that it is, after all, a small world. He had some kind of a contact back here. My tablet's not an iPad, it's a Droid, but I almost had to leave it because this young lady was looking at the English and Spanish Bible side by side on it so much the last night we were there at Paco's house while we were studying. I came really close to just leaving it with her. She was so in tune to studying with it, and that's kind of look that's on Bert's face there is, "Are you still reading that thing?" We took some Spanish and English Bibles, the one that this lady's reading. One column is Spanish, one column is English with us, so you can hopefully try to get between the two languages. They all seem to enjoy that as a way to learn English and study God's Word as well. Ishmael was there technically as a taxi driver, but he showed up way early so he could study with us. The study that we did at Paco's house that night, I actually really liked. They were starting at the beginning, I think, of their songbook, and were just singing through. And by the way, the wonderful singing that we had here a few minutes ago, I'm assuming at some point there was an acoustic design to this building. There's not down there. But it's singing from the heart, and it's singing with all that they have. And it's pretty good for a dozen people in a concrete lawnmower shed or in Paco's living room. We sat around, sang the songs, and then discussed what that song meant to us. And they actually had me pick a song that I could recognize well enough to know the English version of, and then through Bert, tell what that song meant to me so he could translate it back. They were very interested in having us participate in what we were doing. And then this is the night before we left. Picture of one of the Christians there. And that's my last picture. I've got a couple more comments, and then the lesson is yours. I appreciate your attention. I remember before I made the first one of these trips, it was always a burden to sit and listen to somebody talk about the place that they'd been. You don't understand what it's like trying to compress 4 days into a few minutes until you've tried to do that. And Bert is here tonight. Here I one will be happy to talk to you at length about any of this if you'd like. I hope that what you see from it is that we have brothers and sisters all over the world who are basically like us. There's differences in the economy, there's differences in the culture. But both trips, when we worshiped on Sunday, they used basically the same outline of worship that we do here. There's a few differences. Some I'd rather pass on, but I don't think it's worth arguing about. They're Christians. They're our brothers. They're our sisters. They have a soul just like we do. And in these two trips, I hope that I have met people that I will see in heaven one day. I don't know exactly what our memory of those we've met here will be when we get to heaven. But if we will know them, then I'll have an opportunity to see some of these folks again one day, I hope. I hope I see them again here. But we've all got that hope of seeing them again. These are happy people in what we would call less than ideal living conditions and circumstances. But they are our brothers and sisters, and I appreciate the opportunity that you gave me to go there. And the way I ended up going down there, Bert will talk to just about anybody about the travels that he does in Mexico and Central America. And I said, Bert, I want to go. He said, okay, when? And we picked Thanksgiving, that being a time where I could, from a business perspective, manage to go without a lot of trouble. And the next thing I know, I'm on an airplane with Bert headed to Mexico. And I hope that I can make that trip many more times to encourage myself as much as encourage the folks there. And that's probably a greedy statement, but it's true. I'm greatly encouraged when I come home from a place like that, and from the conversations that we've had with the folks there, they are encouraged when we come there as well. Do you enjoy the happiness that these folks have? That's the real question as we bring things to a close. The happiness that they have in what I consider far less than ideal living conditions is the hope of a home in heaven. They realize that the things we struggle with here are temporary. The things we enjoy here are temporary. But heaven and hell are forever, and we have a choice. If you're subject to the gospel call tonight, be it to repent of sins, be baptized for the remission of those sins and your salvation, or if you need the prayers of the church here for some forgiveness of some sin that you need to make publicly known, won't you come down to the front as we stand and sing.